welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Syke.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So this is Investor Resources, a live radio program. Nothing pre-recorded, put in a box. Well, they don't put it in a box anymore, but it's on one of those semiconductor dealies that the auto guys can't get hold of.
That's it. If you can get them, use them. If you can't get them, you're out of luck. So,
anyways, live radio. You want to talk to us today? You got a question about your portfolio, position you have in your portfolio, the market in general? Your friendly neighborhood financial advisor has suggested you make a change and you're not quite sure, is this for him or is this for you? And you want a second opinion. This is a place to get it. All you have to do is pick up your telephone and punch in the numbers, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757, and you'll come up on the queue, and we will talk with you, see if we can help bring some clarification into whatever is causing confusion or uncertainty regarding your portfolio this week. And this week happens to have been one that was the wild one returning. We had volatility up the yin-yang, whatever that is. So to start the week off, the virus was back big time.
Wasn't it? Oof.
And we had the worst day in 9 months since last October. But Rumpelstiltskin waked up and said, hey, everything's going to be okay. So on Tuesday, earnings reports came out and everybody forgot about the virus. I'm not sick anymore. I'm a happy camper. Well, we call Mr. Market schizophrenic. One day he's sad, manic, depressive. Depressive day needs an antidepressant. And the next day he wakes up and he had too much coffee and he's on high. So what's ahead? Well, this is an economy that has phenomenal earnings being reported this quarter. But when you compare yourself to last year at this time, you're coming out of a very, very deep hole. And so if you didn't make money this past year, there's really something wrong with management. Your earnings should be good, and they are. The earnings reports this week have been beating expectations by roughly, they're up almost double, and then nobody expected, well, I'll say nobody, but the average analyst's expectation was not for a double wherever you looked. And if you're looking at tech, it was even greater than that. So why worry about something like the virus or some variant? I mean, let's get back with the game.
Well, they're mostly worried about what the politicians are going to do about the variant. And, you know, of course, they're worried about lockdowns again. And, you know, are they any good? And will people listen again? And will everybody just go along with it? And so all that uncertainty is almost worse than having something happen. It's like, boy, this could be really bad. So everybody gets a little schizophrenic, as you said there, Don. And one day it's just terrible, terrible, terrible. We're never going to make it. The next day it's like, no, we're okay. So it makes it tough, especially for people with money in the market out there looking around saying, well, how do you figure this out? Some days everything's just coming up roses, and then the next day the bottom falls out, and they don't seem to be connected these days. It's just headline trading, and hold on every day and find out where things are going to go.
So if you kind of feel like that schizophrenic Mr. Market and you want to just kind of ask, how do I deal with this? I mean, we have a magic phone number for an hour here today. 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757, if you want to call in. We have had, last week we had a call from our North Carolina contingent. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard from the guys in Chicago lately. I get emails from Calvary. He doesn't call in. We do have a webinar. You don't want to call in, take the time to do that. We have a webinar, a monthly stock market update webinar, first Saturday of the month, unless, of course, it's a three-day holiday. We delay 1 week. You can register for that at irradio.com. That's irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website, couple of clicks, your name and email address, and you will receive a link to join us on August 7th, right after the show. And if you cannot stay or you have other plans, the spouse has said, don't you dare, I've got something else that is a higher priority than that webinar that you want to watch. That's okay. You'll get a link to watch the replay when the spouse isn't looking. You can slip around the corner into your closet or wherever your computer is. You can watch it on your own time. One of the other things that causes confusion here is you're talking to your spouse about what's going on in your portfolio, and all of a sudden you have a child who says, hey, Dad, what's that mean? What are you doing with that? You know, that should be something that you should pay attention to. You have a child who all of a sudden is interested in your portfolio. Now, if it's a young child, they're not worried about inheriting it yet. That happens with older children. But you have a young child who's suddenly interested in some financial news, and what is that you're talking about? Take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
I have a number of friends who have taught their children how to invest over the years, and by the time they reach maturity, they, you know, instead of going out and blowing their money, they figured out there's a road to wealth that doesn't include minimum wage. They're actually saving money because they find out it's fun.
The earlier the better. It really doesn't matter how young they are. There's financial concepts they can understand for sure, and you're really doing them a favor when you get them involved sooner than later.
Well, and I have had some communication with a friend in our Waco contingent of listeners, and his daughter, 7-year-old Faith, is starting to look at the computer and say, that looks interesting, Dad. And I suggested that he open an account and start teaching her how to buy and sell with process. Learn how to make decisions in a process so they're systematic. And that doesn't mean just buy a whole bunch of everything, and think you're diversified and that's going to work. Pay attention to actually what's going on and by where strength and leadership is. But Faith, I know you're listening today. Proud of you. You go, girl.
Good job.
You stay after him until he gets an account open so you can actually learn how to do this on your own. My phone just got a text message. I'll bet that's coming from Faith.
Hello, Faith. Yeah.
Anyway, one of the things that happens here is that we are looking at phenomenal earnings this quarter. The question is, can this be kept up? And the fear in the market is that the rate of growth is going to slow. The peak of earnings we are now experiencing, and you cannot maintain a doubling and tripling of your earnings ad infinitum. It just doesn't happen. Statistically, it's impossible.
Even in good times, yeah. And we're coming out of crazy times, which is, like you said, Don, one of the reasons that earnings are looking so good right now. But that's also one of the primary reasons they can't continue at this pace, is because we're coming off having the world economic engine turned off, and so we're coming from a very low bar. So everything looks fantastic, but it's not possible for that to keep going into the future.
I use the analogy of the engine. I'm thinking of what was kind of like the global economy is doing just fine. We're running along the freeway, and all of a sudden we run out of gas. Mm. And so you're off the side of the road on the shoulder, and you call AAA and say, hey, I ran out of gas. I'm parked here at milepost 39. And they say, okay, It'll take us an hour to get there, and you sit there. But this last year, everybody ran out of gas at the same time, and we now have some fuel back in our tank, and everybody is excited to catch up with where they were supposed to be. Underneath the economy, though, we have some basic things that are indicative of economic strength, one of which is referred to as Dr. Copper, because Dr. Copper is required for all sorts of stuff. Anything that takes electricity, just think about all the stuff that uses electricity, whether it's battery-powered or directly plugged into the supply in your wall outlet. That's a bunch of stuff. Well, Dr. Copper, the chart on Dr. Copper is almost disastrous. It has been collapsing 4 months and is getting down into what looks like bear market territory. But it's not alone. Aluminum, that's Alcoa. The industrial powerhouse of decades gone by, DuPont. Ticker's DD. It's in the same condition. Caterpillar, which has been making a ton of money over the last decade or more by selling big, heavy equipment to China, who is going through an industrial revolution and trying to work their way in. Well, they are working their way into a technology revolution, a lot of which by stealing stuff here in the United States. But be that as it may, Caterpillar, ticker's CAT, and then there's what used to be Dow Chemical is now Dow Holdings, DOW. They're all these stock prices on these issues are collapsing. These are underpinnings of the United States economy and the global economy, for that matter. Alcoa, AA, and J.P. Morgan. Yeah, J.P. Morgan just had great earnings, a lot of which was because they moved loan loss reserves back over to the profit side because they didn't need them last year. And they've been approved, along with other major banks, to increase dividends and start stock buybacks, which is how they give money back to shareholders. They are not all the way down to the 200 moving average, but they are sitting right at the 50 moving average. And that is at least a warning sign that with all the good news you're going to have on earnings this week and next week and the week after, because we're halfway through here, you've got to be paying a little more attention to your downside risk exposure.
They don't count as much as they used to, for the same reason we just talked about. This is not normal time. This is not a normal economy. It's not a normal market. Everything is in recovery mode, which is good. It's just that the good news is not as good as it would have been if we were coming out of a any sort of normal situation. So you have to, you don't take it with a grain of salt. It's good that they're positive. It's good that they're coming back, but it's not necessarily saying, well, that's it. Everything's fine. Let's move on. It's gonna take a little bit to see where this shakes out and see how much of this exactly can hold on. And we are right at our first break here. Go ahead and take a break. Let's remind everyone that we do have our August stock market update coming up Saturday, August 7th, 9:15, right after the show. You can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Just go to the webinar page and give that registration link a click. You're going to get an email back, and on the 7th, you just click that. You will be live online with us. Be sharing our screens. You can look at the charts. We can show you exactly what it is we're looking at. Helps a lot, give you some clarity, and we always have plenty of time for questions, so get your questions ready, and that's a good time to get your questions answered and get some second opinions if you like anything to look at as far as just individual securities, anything in your portfolio or something you're thinking about adding. Good time to get our take on what it is that you're looking at. If you have questions for us this morning, give us a call, 888-312-5757. It's 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Live and local, you're listening to Investor Resources. This is your opportunity to call in and have your questions answered. The lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Or email your question to help at IRIradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine.
Well, this last week was certainly one of those markets. Down big, up big, and then try and figure out the direction. And how do most of people try and figure this out? The same way most financial advisors do. They look at long-term averages. This is called the past performance habit. And it's like any other habit. Most of them are really hard to get rid of. Try as you may. But in the stock market, this is particularly important. What happened in the 40s, in the 50s, the 60s, 70s, none of that is relevant today. Interesting to look at. Makes for interesting charts. Makes for what seems to be a logical process to build the portfolio.
And that's what everybody's looking for. People, investors crave anything that looks like it makes sense out of the randomness that actually happens in the market. And so if you look at these long-term averages, all of a sudden everything smooths out and it looks like, well, okay, I can see what's going on here. Unfortunately, that long-term average just doesn't reveal the underlying volatility that happens along the way, and people start to forget about, well, okay, the market's up 9% on average per year, and then you look at it, it's, well, no, some years it's up a lot, some years it's down a lot, and it changes the nature of investing during those times. But your portfolio is not going to change if you're invested on those long-term averages. You're just going to say, nope, I'll just wait another 50 years, and this is all going to even out for me, too. And that's why it's so dangerous. That's why we don't use it. And that's why you shouldn't use it either.
Well, we don't have any clients who are saying, I don't need my money for 50 years.
It doesn't happen.
I've never had anybody come in and say, I may have had one client who said, I don't need this money. I'm leaving it for my grandkids. That's happened a couple of times in my career. But most of the time it's, well, my grandkids get what's left over after I'm done with whatever I need. But my objective isn't 50 to 80 years out. It's much closer than that. And there's a difference between driving a high-end car and a cheap compact. I mean, clearly the high-end car is going to be more fun, more comfortable, probably it's a better ride. You go to a high-end restaurant, it doesn't have to be a high-end, a modest restaurant, sit down, that's typically going to be better food than going through the drive-in and eating out of your lap. You know, that's different experiences. When you come to the stock market, the same thing actually the rules have to be a little bit different here, because a high period of return is inevitably going to be followed by a lower period of return. So we talked about this, I think, last week, Perry, where wealthy investors now expect their average stock market return going forward to be 17% a year.
Right, right.
You just mentioned the long-term average of 9. I've met with an individual this past week, and he said, I'm going to mortgage my house, put the money in the market, because I can borrow at less than 3 and I can make 10 in the market. I'm thinking, you've bought the long-term history number, because let's just take a look, not at the last 80 or 90 years of 9% average, the last 20 years. It's stock market's not average 9%, it's average 6. Well, that just undermines your assumption. What do you know about the future that somebody else doesn't know? And the fact is, you don't know anything about the future.
That's so important.
And neither do we.
No one does. And that's the part that people forget. You get really comfortable if you're looking at those long-term averages and you're thinking, well, that's just going to continue to occur. Well, first of all, I mean, you know, the first fallacy is that it ever occurred in the first place. No one gets that long-term average because no one has 50 years to put their money away, not touch it, invest all of it at the beginning, right? And that's how you get that long-term average. No one gets that anyway. And so And then to turn around and say, well, looking forward, that's going to continue. It never happened in the first place, and there is no way to know what's coming up. The next 5 years could be fantastic, and the next 5 years could be absolutely terrible, and there's no way to know which one's coming. But you should be ready to make adjustments based on what the market is doing instead of what the market did do over the past 50 years. That just doesn't matter anymore.
Well, and if you don't have a plan to deal with that, how about a plan to recognize when it's developing?
Bingo.
You get stuck with the tech bubble bursting and a bear market that lasted 2 years and 9 months. And on the tech side, down 90%. On the S&P side, down more than 50. So that's included in your long-term average. And what's your plan for dealing with that? Well, we have a plan. That's the way we manage money, is downside risk. Do not want to lose money. And we don't subscribe to everything Warren Buffett says, but we do subscribe to rule number one and rule number two. Rule number one is don't lose money, right out of the mouth of the sage of Omaha. And if you have rules, there's bound to be more than one, and he has rule number two. Remember rule number one, don't lose money. It's more important not to lose your capital, because if you lose your capital, man, trying to get back is really, really hard and
the game's
expensive.
Over. Yeah, that's the nature of investing. You don't want to knock yourself out of the game. So you don't want a 90% loss. You're just not going to recover from that. It's not going to happen. You don't have enough money left to let it even work for you. So you have to avoid those. And that pie chart investing is not going to do that for you. You're going to take whatever loss happens in the market. They don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. But they do know you're going to ride that thing down until it turns around. And they don't have anything planned to do to change that. That's how it's supposed to work. And it's much easier for the firm. It gets them off the hook having to do much more work and do something about it, make some decisions. It becomes just a set it and forget it portfolio. And all that means is when the market tanks, you tank with it. And that's just not good enough.
Now, so one of the more common questions that we get is, what do you think the market's going to do this next year or this next week or whatever? But it typically, what's ahead for us? Mm-hmm. And the correct answer is what nobody wants to hear. We don't know, because nobody else does either. So how do you deal with this? Well, that's process. That is a function of having some process to analyze what's going on in the market and determining what your sensitivity to drawdown is. Drawdown, that means how much money are you willing to lose before you panic and say, get me out of here. You actually should have some rules that get you out of here before panic sets in, because that is a dangerous outcome.
That's when you're going to make bad decisions, when the world's falling apart around you and you don't have a clue how to deal with that. That's dangerous. That's when you're going to make big mistakes. That's why having those rules in place, that's why having the process ready to go before that hits is so important. It allows you to make decisions even during those times of chaos, which come more and more often in the market. If you already have a framework to address that, you can just follow the rules. Apply the process, and it's going to pull you through in most cases. And so it's just so important to have that in place, and that's the way you avoid the panic, knowing you have a process that's going to address whatever's coming up and not making rash decisions when the market's being crazy and you just finally panic and give up and either, you know, buy everything or sell everything, and both are going to be a big mistake.
You want to talk to us this morning? It's 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. Along with just figuring out, monitoring what's changing as far as the risk profile, that's also a function of where in the market should I be? Mm-hmm. The typical investor that we talk to, prospective investor, I guess, maybe one of you radio listeners calls in and says, yeah, I want to take a look at my portfolio and get a second opinion on it. We typically find that you're broadly diversified. But we have to ask the question, why on earth do you own international stocks? Let's just take the last year. Vanguard's total international, our total market fund, has an annualized return over the last 10 years of 14.5%. And the total international fund is only 5.5%. Hmm. Well, that's a big difference. It's almost threefold difference. But normal diversification process says you should always own international. Well, you should not always own international. Now, we've been on the radio and various stations for, I think we're coming up on 13 years. In June of 2011, on the air, we told people, it's time to sell your emerging markets and your gold. And you go back and look at the charts. That was absolutely right. Did we know what was going to happen? No. What we knew was change was in the mix, and it wasn't good just looking at the charts. This is technical awareness of price changes in the market. Price is the common denominator for all investors. There's no arguing about the price of a given security. It is what it is. Now, you may think it's too high or too low. We watch the trend. And when those trends collapse, well, preferably before they actually go through the real collapse, you can see that on a technical, properly structured chart. And we watch those. June of 2011, time to get out of these two categories. We don't own international. Why? Because that is the area that continues to struggle the most with the COVID problem. And their economies are lagging. They're having a hard time. Where do you want to be? The economy that's doing the best happens to be the U.S. Does it have risk? Absolutely. Will that change? Yes, it will. When? We don't know. But your portfolio should adapt instead of saying, I don't care if it is losing money for 15 years. That's okay, because eventually, hopefully in my lifetime, it will become a leader. And that's how most people invest. Buy a little bit of everything. You'll have something that's working. But is it working well enough to actually get you where you want to go? And the odds are the answer is no.
Correct. Because you're always going to have stuff in that same portfolio that's not working well at all, but you're going to hang on to it anyway, because that's the process. So it's one of those things that we don't understand. Why would you hang on to things that are losing money? Why would you hang on to things that are working against you reaching your goals? Doesn't make much sense to us, and that's why we changed our investment strategy model to say, hey, we're going to start adapting to what's going on. We're not going to look at those long-term averages. They're not doing us any good. We are at the bottom of the hour here. Time to get out of here and take a break. Again, I'd like to remind everyone, our next market update's coming up Saturday, August 7th, 9:15, right after the show here. You can register for that at iriradio.com. You can also sign up for our Week in Review. It's our weekly email newsletter. Just send us an email. Send an email to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Just put your name in the body, and we need just put Week in Review in the subject line, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there. What are they going to give for? I have a $600 down here now, 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, 50 and now, 60. Will you give me 60 now, 75, 75 and now, 80?
Yeah, well, the market's an auction market. You know, we don't see the guys on the New York Stock Exchange floor throwing their paper chits up in the air when they get their orders executed anymore, because it's all done electronically.
It's not happening there, right?
Yeah, that's right. The big action there is if you want to rent out the New York Stock Exchange floor for your wedding party or some other celebration, it's available because it's just an icon. When we're looking at the market, we talk about the stock market. That's why we're here. When we manage money, we're registered investment advisors. We are fiduciaries. We have no broker-dealer affiliation. We have no insurance company affiliation. We don't do taxes. We don't sell anything. All we do is manage money for our clients for 401k plans. We have some companies where we provide the menu and risk manage models for their participants. If you want to know how that works, you can send us an email, help@iriradio, and tell us you want to know more information about our 401k services or even our portfolios. I mean, we can deal with that. But one of the ways that investors often deal with trying to identify a rule for making a good buy is dividend yield. If I have a company and the dividend is greater than what I can get from a bond and the company is a stable company, then shouldn't that be an attractive buy? Because stocks, yeah, here's the old adage, stocks always go up in the long run. Yes, they do, the very long run. But if you're buying just dividends because you want the cash flow, you always have to have, we always ask, well, are you after the dividend? And do you care if your stock collapses 50%?
Because that does make a huge difference. If you're looking at your total portfolio value, that dividend's still going to be there, but eventually it's going to get cut if the stock continues to go down. But in the meantime, your portfolio value is dropping like a rock. And are you really okay with that? And most of the time, the answer is no. People are not.
So there are actually a couple of points here. That if you actually are in a where dividends are a full percentage point better than the long-term bonds, that's probably a buying opportunity. And it's turned out to be true.
Right.
Twice historically. Once, right after the end of the market collapse in 2009, and once last year, right after the bottom hit in March. And it turns out both of them were in March. So there is some correlation. However, right now, that rule looks attractive because bond interest rates have fallen so much that makes dividends look attractive. But the rise in stock prices over the last year or after the 2009 collapse, that probability is not there. And there's another warning. This one I learned the hard way back in the early 90s when I started this company.
That's last century, by the way.
Yeah, so it is. That's last century. I had Philip Morris in the account and in the portfolios. Philip Morris had a phenomenal dividend. Mm-hmm. That the court had settled that they settled the tobacco issue and stuff and said, well, but they were paying a dividend that had increased every year for decades. And then, and I don't remember, it was 91 or 2, but they did not raise the dividend. It was a $2 dividend. It was a double-digit return in dividend on the stock price. What's wrong with that?
Got to be good.
Well,
got to be good.
What's wrong is they didn't raise the dividend like they had every year for decades, which meant, though I did not know it at the time, there was trouble brewing on the board.
That's a major red flag, yes.
So if you own a company that's paying dividends, you want to own one that systematically increases the dividend. Now, maybe it's not every year, it's every other year, every third year, but they're systematically, you're getting dividend increases. The year they don't increase it, you sell that turkey because you think it's beautiful, but it is going to be a turkey very quickly, because when they quit raising dividends after a long history of doing so, that means there's financial trouble that they have not yet been required to disclose, but disclosure is coming. And when that disclosure happens, you own a turkey.
You don't want to be an owner when that news comes out. And there's some reason that they would not increase that dividend or, heaven forbid, actually cut it. That means there's trouble brewing. And it's something you really need to pay attention to, because so many people now are buying that dividend, trying to get some income, because bonds are paying so little. They're reaching for yield out there, and they're buying that dividend and forgetting that, you know what, there's not just the dividend there. There's other things that can go wrong, and you need to pay attention to that.
Well, that's certainly true. That's just one process that the dividend as a buy decision is not an absolute certainty that it's going to work. We do have an economy that is expected to cool for a variety of reasons. One, what we're hearing on the news is that the COVID variants are continuing to pop up, not just globally, but here in the United States. And that is causing some concerns and fears that various levels of government are going to reimpose shutdowns. Once you give government power, boy, do they hate to give it up.
it's almost better than money. It's almost better than a big tax increase. You know, we've got power, and man, do they want to hold on to that.
So LA has imposed mandated mask again, and there's actually getting some pushback from the citizenry. Not quite like they are in Cuba, but there's still pushback.
It's so confusing. They're trying to get it. Make sure you get a vaccination. Everybody must be vaccinated. It's critical. So what changes if you get a vaccination? Well, nothing. Put the mask back on. It doesn't do you any good at all. So it's like, okay, I don't understand anymore what's going on here.
What is happening is that the emerging markets have been unable to get much done in the way of vaccination at all. China has a resurgent problem. China's economy is slowing. So between the variants that are showing up, and we're looking at the world's second largest economy, mm-hmm. China, where their growth rate is slowing down. And they've had, there are global weather problems. We have drought here. They've got drought in Brazil. And you say, why does that matter? Well, it just so happens that Brazil is the largest coffee exporter. The crop is not doing well at all. Plus, the rivers are so low that they can't ship, they can't put it on barges and get it out because there's not enough water to float. They're short on electricity because there's not enough water to turn the dam turbines. We have droughts here in the United States where farmers have shifted from their normal product to something else that can sell. Or in Canada, instead of raising their wheat and selling it as grain, they're harvesting it early and selling it as hay for livestock. All that's more food inflation, and it will take another good season, a cycle of the year, to see if that turns around. And that is, this is not climate change that's causing this. The problems here with the flooding around the world, both in China and in Europe, and then the droughts that we have here in our hemisphere, that's, we know what causes it. It's the jet winds up at the upper atmosphere that have shifted, and they're driving cool and warm weather in different parts of the country that aren't used to them. We think this is abnormal. What's abnormal is that Greenland is called green because it used to be a very lush area. It wasn't covered in ice. It was covered with green crops, landscape. Things change over time. And that had nothing to do with mankind driving non-electric vehicles. They were pushing carts around with horses and pulling them anyway.
Well, as scary as that is, of all the stuff you just ran through, Don, it's the caffeine shortage that I think may be the most terrifying. I'm not sure we can get through a crisis like that. We don't function well without caffeine in this country. We got to figure that out.
So if you're a frequent consumer at Starbucks, expect the prices to rise because coffee prices are rising. We have shipping prices that are rising. Some of those are going to moderate over time, but it is a messed up supply chain. Places that are not likely to have to pass much along in the way of rising shipping costs would be Target and Walmart because they have long-term contracts. However, the coffee producers down in Brazil, some of those guys had long-term shipping contracts. And the shipping companies just canceled them and said, that's not enough money. We got somebody else who's going to pay us a whole lot more. We're not even going to stop and pick up your stuff. You are stuck with it. Some of the fruit, grapes are grape crop internationally has been devastated by rain. And you think, well, you know, I don't get my wine from South America. Chile, but a lot of raisins come out of Chile. Crops been devastated, and so expect more inflation there. So we are moving from an economy that has really been accelerating well beyond the normal speed limit over the past year as we've come out of the deep hole that we were in last year with the shutdown. But this speed can't be kept up.
It's going to have to slow down. It's going to have to moderate. And we're going to have to hit a speed bump here and get out of here for our last break of the morning. We've got plenty of time to get your call up on the board. If you'd like to talk to us this morning, give us a call, 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. And if you'd like to register for our upcoming August market update, which is coming up Saturday, August 7th, just go to irradio.com. Head for the webinar page and give that registration link a click, and you will find that that hour or so we spend on Saturday morning after the show is quite informative. You can get some real clarity about what's going on out there in the market and get your questions answered. We always take time to answer all the questions that come across, and there's always great questions. So it's worth your time. I would check it out if you haven't. We have a growing audience there. It's actually a lot of fun. Again, you can register at IRIRadio.com. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Want to go higher. That's what you want the market to do, and the index keeps doing that, and we say, my goodness, how on earth did that happen? Well, it's happening because basically there are five stocks that are making the market go higher, and that's actually higher risk than it was in 18 and 19 when it was mostly 10 stocks that were making the market go higher, make the indexes go higher.
Twice as many stocks then.
Oh, yeah. So that obviously was better times. But what this really means is there's an awful lot of risk that people do not recognize in the market. And the way most people manage risk is they buy bonds. Bonds benefit from lower interest rates. Your cash flow gets hurt, but your bond portfolio rises. And so there's a normal process when you answer risk questions with your financial advisor or your favorite website. And the older you get and the more risk averse you are, they put more bonds in your portfolio, assuming that the long-term average of bonds, which is between 5.5% and 7%, is going to continue, which means that you believe interest rates are going to continue falling for the next 35 years. But you got to find a bond portfolio manager, and there is one hidden in not such plain sight. Now, as far as our portfolios are concerned, it's not that we don't like bonds. We love bonds when bonds are making money for us rather than our alternatives. But when bonds are losing money, they shouldn't be in the portfolio. Why, you want to have losses just in case something else loses more than your bonds do, because then your bonds won't look so bad. Maybe they'll do you some good. That's the standard process, and we think it makes no sense to own things that are holding your portfolio down. But you have to have a process that actually recognizes changes in risk in the market and adapts to it. You should talk to us or at least attend some of our webinars and learn more about how to do that. But if you're looking for one of the largest bond managers in the world, consider Apple.
How about
that's
that?
Right. AAPL, Apple. It is a large company, and it does have a problem. Now, this is not a sell signal for Apple. However, they're too good at making money.
They can't seem to stop. The cash is rolling in at Apple, and it just keeps coming in. And they actually have trouble finding places to stash all their money while they're trying to figure out where to redeploy that. And, you know, they can only do so many stock buybacks. They can only do so many dividends. That's why they have so much money in bonds, as much as $195 billion in cash and cash derivatives inside of Apple. So they are one of the largest bond managers on the planet. And that's not intuitive, seeing as they're the big, you know, growth company. You figure they're just let's go stocks. They make so much money, they are having trouble finding places to put it. That's amazing.
Now, you could say they could pay more dividends. They could raise the dividend significantly and become a real cash cow for their stockholders. But, yeah, there's no need to do that. We've got the money. He who has the money makes the rules. That's an old adage. You know, if Apple took their money and decided to buy stocks,
yes,
how many companies could they actually buy?
Of the S&P, yeah. How many? I wonder how many could they buy of the S&P 500, Don?
They could own outright 460 of the 500 companies on the S&P. That's how much cash they have. That's a ton of cash.
And that's 460 of the largest corporations in America, and they could buy 460 of them. That's just startling. That's a startling pile of money.
Now, as a growth company, they probably have some peak in their in this time period. One of the ways we look at that from an when somebody says, well, I own Apple and I just love Apple products, and I say, well, that's okay. You're in love with Apple. Do you care if the stock falls? No, I don't. You know, it's the same deal with Tesla. I don't care if the stock falls 50%. I believe in Elon Musk. Well, with Apple, what one of the things we look at is how many institutions are actually holding Apple shares. And the percent of institutions that are holding Apple shares has fallen from somewhere approaching 90 down to 50, below 56%, 55.9%. They have, as the price has been rising and the retail investors have been celebrating, institutional investors have been saying, the best years are behind Apple. We are going to find some better opportunity. Now, the institutions don't go out and sell carte blanche. They systematically work their way out of a rising price to maximize their return while the getting is still good. They don't wait for it to collapse and say, oh my goodness, I'd better get out of here. But one of the things that investors typically do is they focus on bad stuff. They wait until the bad news happens. And as human beings, it's easy to do.
Yeah, it's human nature, yeah.
We hate bad news, but we love to talk about it. It's so much easier to talk about than the stuff that is good. And so good earnings, yeah, that's fun right now. But, man, I'll tell you, when the bad stuff comes, that is that's a problem. We turn around and take a look at something like Vanguard manages more than $7 trillion in assets. And has done a lot of good for investors. I mean, they've been a leader in reducing cost. Vanguard was the first mutual fund to abandon an 8.5% sales charge to go to no load. That was back in the 70s. It was actually it was after the 69 market crash. I think it was like 71 or 2 when John Bogle made that decision.
That was a really big deal. That was a huge departure and a huge chance they were taking that was all going to work out okay. And of course, it's done phenomenally well and lowered the cost of investing for everyone out there, which is a very positive thing, of course.
So with all their index funds, it's kind of like, well, you buy and hold and you live through the ups and you live through the downs, which is what you do when you're buying an index fund. You're willing to lose 50% and wait 7-8 years to get even again. That's the process of buy and hold. And we ignore that kind of stuff, and we focus on what's going on at Robinhood.
Yeah. That's the headline grabber. That's where everybody's looking. Whoa, we've got all these new investors. We've got all this new stuff. Everybody's trading on their phone now. And isn't this, you know, is this going to be good or is this going to be bad for the market? You know, and there's endless articles right now still about Robinhood and meme stocks, and that's what everybody's focusing on right now.
So we have Vanguard with trillions of dollars under management. Robinhood has $80 billion. That's kind of like looking for pocket change in the behind the couch cushion.
They're not going to move the needle much. Yeah, it takes the large firms. That's where the real that's what's really driving the market. And things like Robinhood are interesting. Let's look at it. But it's they're not really going to change the landscape much currently.
No. What is important in terms of actually achieving your retirement goals or the money for college education for your kids or grandkids is what's your process to protect capital? Do you have rules about how much of a decline you will tolerate before you say enough's enough, I have to protect my capital here, or I may not have it when I need it? That is the most important thing that you actually need to have with regard to your portfolio management. You have to know when you are going to exit not the market necessarily, but whatever it is you own, because each individual position should stand on its own as contributing to your growth, to your an addition to your portfolio performance. If it isn't, why is it there?
And that's the question. Why is it there? And if you have that pie chart, it's always going to be there. Whatever's losing money. In fact, that's what we keep saying. That's not a bug. That's a feature. You're always going to be losing money in something in that pie chart.
And you don't want to do that. Register for our monthly stock market update webinar. Go to IRIradio.com. That's IRIRadio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar. A couple of clicks, your name and email, and you'll get a link to join us. And if you can't join us, you'll get a link to watch it on your own time as a replay. And you can, on a replay, you can't ask questions except by sending us an email. Help at IRIRadio.com. That's help at IRIRadio.com. Send us an email for our week in review. Week in review in the subject line, name, and first and last name in the body of the email, and you will get it starting on Monday. You want to talk to us during the week? It's 800-317-9119. 800-317-9119. God bless you and God bless America. Lord willing, we'll be back next week.